Governor Newsom is being lobbied hard about an order that would make it presumptive that any employee who is an essential employee who gets COVID-19 is eligible for workers' comp. Currently, under workers' comp, the employee has to show that whatever illness or injury was suffered happened during the course of work, that it couldn't be something that happened when the employee is off the job. But what labor organizations are urging the governor to mandate is that if someone is an essential worker is out there working and then ends up getting COVID-19, that they would be granted workers' compensation without having to prove that it was exposure on the job that led to their illness. Joining us is Mitch Steiger, legislative advocate for the California Labor Federation. Mr. Steiger, thank you very much for being with us. Why should the governor issue this order? Why is it important for state employees?
Well, the issue is that without a presumption, workers who've gotten COVID-19 at work will find it difficult, if not impossible, to actually get medical care and indemnity benefits under the workers' compensation system. Our system has always really struggled with occupational illness. As you mentioned, the burden of proof is there on the worker to prove that something did happen at work. And depending on the circumstances, that can sometimes be a difficult thing to do, no matter how true it is. And given that these workers are out there literally risking their lives every day to take care of us, to keep our society functioning, we think the least we can do is make sure that they're taken care of when they do get the disease at work. And that's why we're fighting for it.
Would there be some sort of a compromise where that the employee could be queried about whether they lived with someone who was diagnosed with COVID-19 or, what when they were away from the job, what potential sources of exposure there might be, so that that could be considered in case the exposure did happen off the job?
A disputable or rebuttable presumption like the one you're describing would still be a major victory for workers, but the issue is that we would still see a lot of workers spending a lot of time in the court process, facing a lot of delays, facing in some cases denials when they did get it at work, and we would deal with all the costs associated with that. Another reason that we think the presumption makes sense is that actually most of the money in our workers' comp system, about 53 cents of every dollar, goes to things that aren't injured workers, goes to claims administration, goes to insurance companies and attorneys. And the more that we open the door to litigation and frictional costs associated with COVID-19 claims, the worse that problem gets.
Now, critics of the governor issuing this order, businesses say the problem is that this would cause premiums under workers' comp to skyrocket, because if every essential employee who gets COVID-19 is immediately eligible for workers' comp, the payouts are going to be so great that then the premiums are going to skyrocket. That's going to have an effect on businesses and their employees. Your response to that argument?
Well, we don't think premiums would skyrocket. When you look at the estimates that came from the State Compensation Insurance Fund, or presumption that they've already adopted, they guessed about $115 million. They've got about 11% of the market. And so, if we figured in the $1 to $2 billion range out of a $23 billion system, we think that's something that would be pretty manageable if the presumption did look anything like what SCIF did adopt. But the really important thing to keep in mind is that if we don't do a presumption, if these claims don't go through the workers' comp system, it's not like they go away. We're just dumping them back on the worker in terms of their own health care plan, if they have health insurance at all. And they also wouldn't be getting the permanent disability benefits that they would through the workers' compensation system if they have some sort of permanent lung scarring. And if, God forbid, they do die on the job, their family wouldn't be getting the death benefits. And so their family would just be left with essentially nothing when the primary breadwinner dies. And so for those reasons, we think it's really important to keep them in the workers' compensation system and to remember that these costs are going to be there. The question is just which system is going to deal with them and who's going to pay for them.
We're talking with Mitch Steiger, legislative advocate for the California Labor Federation, which is advocating that Governor Newsom issue an order that any essential employee who contracts COVID-19 be covered by workers' compensation. Also with us, president of the Valley Industry and Commerce Association, one of the organizations that signed a letter to Governor Newsom asking that the governor immunize all private entities and their workers providing critical services, goods, and facilities. Stuart Waldman. Mr. Waldman, it's good to have you with us again. Why do you think that the governor should issue this immunization and should not issue a presumption of workers' comp coverage?
Well, the idea of a presumption, it states that the employee received it at work. What Mitch is proposing does not include a rebuttable presumption. It does not include any defense from the employer. I spoke to an employer today who asked me what he should do because two of his employees went to Newport Beach yesterday. And he was frustrated that they put themselves in danger. And he was asking me, could he send those employees home? Can he send them away without having to pay them? I think when you add increased costs and you look at a situation where you do not know what the employee is doing in their personal life, you brought up a simple situation. What if somebody who is an essential worker lives with someone who has COVID-19? But continues to go to work. That is a very real possibility. Employers cannot control their employees when they are not working. So there is no way to tell where an employee got sick.
What about Mitch's argument that this would so tie the employee up in the workers' comp process and, you know, because it really, at root, it would be almost impossible to determine where the exposure came from. You'd have, you know, maybe it's more likely it happened on the job, maybe it's more likely it happened at home or at Newport Beach or wherever. But since it's so difficult to definitively determine, and you've got an employee who's potentially vulnerable and sick here, sort of argument is the preponderance of that, it's not fair to put it on the employee.
Well, that assumes that the employer fights the claim. There are many employers that if the situation arose and they knew, in fact, that the employee did get sick at work, they were able to trace that, they were able to figure that out, they would not necessarily fight that claim. So we're talking about a very small amount of claims that would be fought.
All right. Ms. Steiger, you want to respond to that?
Sure. Well, I think we would say if it's a very small amount of claims that would be fought, then the impact of the system should be pretty minimal if most of them are going to be accepted. And in response to the hypothetical and anecdotal evidence that's been brought up about if a worker did this or engaged in this kind of activity, there are going to be just as many, if not more, workers who were following the shelter-in-place order, haven't been exposing themselves to any unnecessary risks, but are there every day at work doing the things that need to be done to keep us safe and to keep society going. And in those cases, we don't want to see those workers have to spend a great deal of time and a great deal of suffering in the workers' compensation system trying to get the benefits that they deserve, because our experience has been with other kinds of occupational disease and illness that's usually the case. These are very often denied, and workers are subjected to some pretty brutal and pretty adversarial tactics in court to try to get the benefits that they deserve.
And again, you don't see any compromise to where if the worker is able to show that she or he, you know, people attest to the fact that they didn't put themselves in any risky position, weighed against the fact there were multiple sources for exposure in doing the essential work that they did. I mean, that would seem to be, at least on the face of it, fairly straightforward. But you're saying there's just no way to contain that?
Basically, yeah, it's just been our experience that any sort of open door to that sort of thing, you are going to see delays and denials in the system. Now, again, it would still be a major step forward and still be a big victory for workers. But in addition to still leaving the option open for a lot of these delays and denials that we don't want to see these workers have to suffer through, it would be a lot of money lost in the system to friction and litigation and claims administration, that sort of thing. We don't want to see that happen.
Okay.
Those workers have to go through that.
Stuart Waldman, quick closing comments, sir.
Yeah, the increased costs are estimated to be about an additional $33.6 billion annually on these claims. That's a lot of money. The workers' comp system is already broken. It's filled with fraud and misuse, and the delays are because people are abusing the system. So let's not add something else that's going to increase costs for businesses. And keep in mind, a lot of businesses aren't going to survive. So, you know, let's try and make sure that the businesses that do are able to run efficiently and provide jobs.
All right. I want to thank you both. That's Stuart Waldman, president of the Valley Industry and Commerce Association, Mitch Steiger, a legislative advocate for the California Labor Federation. We're talking about whether the current rules for workers' comp should be changed as a result of the circumstances of COVID-19 and the risks that essential employees are taking on in their jobs. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. Coming up, our political analysts. We certainly have a lot to talk about this week. We'll hear from them in just 90 seconds.